Good stuff. Yeah, let's pray. Father, I come before you this morning and thank you for the chance to be here. And Lord, I pray that you will fill this place, fill each one of us, and may you be so highly exalted. Be with all of our church family that's all over during this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think we're seconds from... All right. So we are on and live. Is that correct? I think so. Well, good morning. So... good morning to each of you and all of you all over, wherever you may be this morning. Good morning to friends and family scattered all around this country. A couple of family and friends here in the sanctuary with me this morning just to offer a little bit of encouragement. So this is kind of uncharted waters for all of us. And so I am humbled and thankful to be a part of this. And I'm humbled and thankful for each of you out there to join us on this live stream as we gather to share God's word in such an unprecedented day and age. So, boy, we have been in lots of prayer throughout this time, just exploring how it is that we can go about best serving you guys and celebrating the goodness of Jesus in such an uncertain time. So I've heard stories of some of you out there right now that have left your homes and gone and gathered together with some seniors, with shut-ins. You've gathered together with your families in ways maybe that you haven't done in years and years, or possibly even ever. And it absolutely just warms my heart to hear how you here at Ledge Rock Community Church are pulling together in this uncertain time. So I am just overjoyed to see how God is at work here in this situation and amongst our church family. A lot of you have called and asked and texted and reached out wondering how you can give during this weird time where we're not gathering in person. And I'm very thankful for your willingness to be faithful with how God has blessed you to help continue the work here at Ledge Rock, because the work isn't stopping. We may have to do it slightly differently, but the work and the ministry at and through Ledge Rock is continuing on. And so we continue to be dependent upon your support through this time. And so lots and lots of work has gone into getting this ready, but we are now ready for online giving. You can go to our website, Ledge Rock Community Church, and you can go through the prompts there and, from what I'm told, quite easily contribute online. You can even do an ongoing monthly bank-to-bank transfers. There's lots of different ways for you to give. But also, during the week, I will still have fairly normal business hours. And I would say to be conservative, between 10 and 3 o'clock, I'll pretty much be in the office Monday through Thursday. So if you want to drop off your offerings or whatever, feel free to do that during those hours. I think you can mail them in. And again, you can give online. So we've got several different options. It's interesting how the day that we find ourselves, because we have already been live streaming for a couple of months now, and we'd already been working on online giving for some time, and we're very much ready to absolutely roll it out officially. So I feel like God had prepared us here at Ledge Rock Community Church for just such a day as this. So pretty interesting how God is at work, even when it may seem like we're in scary times. So let's go ahead and get into today's message, and we will explain or go through some other kind of announcements, if you will, or different situations that we're addressing here at Ledge Rock as we go throughout today's message. But what I've been kind of doing over the last some weeks, actually, is helping you to get to know me, sharing a little bit about me. And I'm going to continue with that here this morning. One of the things that you've probably heard about me, but you'll hear even more about right now, is that I absolutely love to paddle. Love canoeing. My wife likes to hike. I tolerate hiking. I love paddling. She tolerates paddling to get to Portage, and she considers that her hiking or whatever. So, yeah, God put us together in a brilliant manner, so we work well together. But anyway, as far as paddling goes, I absolutely love solo paddling. I really, really love solo canoes and solo paddling. I own two different solo canoes, and it's lots and lots of fun to have such a small, lightweight, responsive boat, to lay it in the water, to jump in there, throw a little day pack or whatever, grab several different paddles, and go out and enjoy some time alone on the water. Love solo paddling. Every stroke that I make, every move that I make, is it's my own fault or my own, you know, benefit if it's a good move. It's all about me while I'm out there solo paddling. Really enjoy that. I love to study the art of paddling and what a paddle makes a canoe do. And there's no quite way to experience that other than solo paddling. And as great and wonderful as solo paddling is, what's even better is tandem paddling. Getting to go out there with two people, at least two. Sometimes we throw the little rugrats in the canoe too and take them along with us. But even better than solo paddling is tandem paddling, primarily because you get to do it together. It's better together. More fun together. Tandem paddling, the best solo paddler can't compare to even average tandem paddlers. Tandem, doing it together, you can accomplish more, go further. It's easier together. It's just better together. So today we're in the sixth week of this series I've been doing on alone. It's amazing how God had prepared this far in advance. Been working this out because the day that we find ourselves in today, maybe you can feel especially alone here today. And it's no coincidence that we've been going through this series that shows us through Scripture that we are never, ever alone. The first week we looked at this series on alone. Well, let me set the stage for alone real quick. So alone came from the series on the History Channel called Alone, where contestants are dropped off and the last one to survive out there in the wilderness wins $500,000. And so they get to take several different items with them, but really it's about overcoming the elements, and it's about finding enough food, but really it's about overcoming your mind and that fear of being alone. And through that mentality, through that mindset, I felt like this sermon series would be beneficial for all of us, because we have an enemy that's very real, and he tries to convince us that we are alone. And as he gets in our brains and convinces us that we are alone, he can then lead us anywhere he wants as he breaks down our faith, our confidence. He gets to working inside us, and lots of bad things come when we start to think and feel like we are alone. And so the point to this sermon series is the fact that we have a God that absolutely never, ever will leave us alone. That no matter how we may feel in our minds, we are never, ever alone. And this week, this sixth week, is about being together, being the body of Christ together. So we learned that God is available to meet anytime face to face. We learned that God has called us to never ever fear, to never be afraid, that He will never leave us or forsake us. We've learned that we can know God intimately through His Word and connect with His power through prayer. We learned that God came in the flesh incarnate. Jesus Christ is Emmanuel, God with us. We learned that then God is in us, that all believers are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And now we are looking at the fact that we are the body of Christ together. That's where we're at here today. Together requires cooperation and communication. Together doesn't just simply happen easily. There's several things that we have to do and be about to make this all work well. Cooperation, communication, teamwork, and trust, grace, and forgiveness. Life as the body of Christ, as the church, life as a faith community is the same as paddling a tandem canoe with a partner. It takes teamwork and trust. It takes communication and commitment. It takes grace and forgiveness to be effective. We have to work together. I know when Teresa and I go out paddling in our tandem canoe, it takes us being able to speak clearly together and then loving each other through what may seem like confusing times or mistakes made or whatever. when we communicate well, she's saying amen if you can't hear her, if she's not amplified. Anyway, it's the same with us as the church. We need to look at each other with grace and forgiveness and love and mercy, communicate well, teamwork and trust. It's exactly the same for us here today. Now, today we're going to be in the book of Acts, chapter 2. So if you have a copy of God's Word there with you, please pull it up. The book of Acts is after the four Gospels, the first beginning of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then the book of Acts. And it's the Acts of the Apostles. And it's one of my favorite books. I love the Acts of the Apostles. And I especially love these first couple chapters as we see what Jesus did while he was here on the earth after his resurrection and before his ascension. The beginning of chapter 2 is where the Holy Spirit comes at the Pentecost and fills the early church, all the believers, with his very presence, and then empowers them to go out and do amazing, amazing feats. These believers, these disciples that were afraid for their lives, go out suddenly, and Peter in particular preaches an extremely powerful message, and thousands of people are saved and then filled with the Spirit and being baptized. God was just doing amazing things. The disciples were filled with the Spirit and speaking in different languages so that folks from all over the world could know the truth of the risen Savior, that Jesus was not simply a man, but that he was actually the long-awaited Messiah, and that if they would put their faith and trust in him and him alone, that they too would be filled with God's very presence. It was just truly amazing and miraculous to see what God did in that early church and continuing on for some time. And I, as a preacher of the gospel, I never get tired of seeing what God did through those early believers and how just amazing miracles were being performed. It's very exciting. And so that's where we're going to pick up today, is at the end of chapter 2. We're going to begin in verse 42 and go through the end of the chapter. This whole concept of being better together, being the body together, working in faith and fellowship and cooperation and communication, this is found throughout Scripture, all over the place. So one of the challenges for me was to settle on one specific text. And I chose Acts chapter 2. It wasn't that hard of a decision. I love this passage. So that's where we're at here today. So join me if you have a copy of God's Word. Otherwise, just listen as I read to you from Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 42. Speaking about the early church, all these believers, these thousands that had been recently saved, it said, then they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all, as any had need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Let's pray. Most gracious and loving and merciful Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning with joyful hearts for the fact that you are our God, and that in the midst of what seems like uncertain times, you are never, ever apart from us, that we can turn to and trust in you no matter what we're facing here on this earth. And Father, I thank you for the chance to gather together with believers, with friends and family from all over the country here this morning. And I pray that you will take this message that you've so clearly given to me and laid on my heart, and I ask that you will speak it and preach it boldly and clearly through me. I ask that you will open up each of our hearts and our minds that we can more clearly understand who you are and then what we need to do as your body, your church here on this earth. So, Father, move among us this day for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So the whole idea of what we are really about here at Ledge Rock and throughout the ages, from the very beginning until now, and as we look at the future, it's all about making disciples, being a disciple, which is just simply a follower of Jesus, and then helping other people follow Jesus. And as we explore what life is like as a follower of Jesus, we clearly see that we were never ever intended to do any of this alone. We were never supposed to do it on our own. And yet today we find ourselves in the midst of a global pandemic. Absolutely crazy times that we are living in. COVID-19 or coronavirus or whatever, these crazy days that we find ourselves in has caused unprecedented closures all over. Churches all across the country, I assume all across the world, are meeting online, some for the very first time ever, not meeting in person. It finds us with restaurants closed. It finds us with stores closed and gyms and just unprecedented closures. Last night here in Ely, at 5 o'clock in the afternoon on a Saturday evening, it was a ghost town. Nobody was out. The stores were empty. Zips had a couple cars in the parking lot. Northland was practically empty. It's amazing day, amazing times that we find ourselves in. Our home state of Illinois has gone to shelter-in-place type situation where they're recommending everybody just completely stays at home. It's not absolutely mandated, but anyway, Illinois has taken great measures. Lots of other states, it's more and more every hour, each and every day, as the cases of those that have been tested positive for coronavirus continue to climb hour by hour. It's just unprecedented the level that the government is going to try to stop the spread of this amazing virus. And so it's absolutely no coincidence that today, of all days, we land in week six on this series of Alone, where the idea is that we are better together when we cannot meet together. I had a very different message in mind as we looked at how we can tackle this idea and concept of being better together. And it's really neat. Again, absolutely no coincidence how God laid this out as we look at how it is that you and I can be together while we are caused to be separated, where we can't actually be together. And stick with us, and you'll find out there is an answer to this problem. But especially in this day that we find ourselves in, you can really, really feel alone. I mean, there are some of you watching right now online that are absolutely feeling alone. You're feeling afraid. You're feeling confused and maybe just some anxiety and stress. And it's no coincidence that we are in the middle of this message on the fact that no matter where you're at and no matter what your situation, you are never alone. This day that we find ourselves in here today, the beginning of the year 2020, it is absolutely critical that you and I, my brothers and sisters, Ledge Rock Community Church, that we pull together like never before and that we become the body of Christ. Throughout the scripture, throughout all of scripture, but especially today's passage and where I want us as the church to land is this realization, this noticing of people that have been made different by their faith in Jesus, people that have been made different by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit out making a difference in the world. That's going to be a recurring theme throughout today's message. People that have been made different, making a difference. So right now, there's a lot of excitement here at Ledge Rock because you have a new pastor. You've been waiting for years for God to bring just the right man along. And here I am. God, in a just amazing, amazing, miraculous way, brought us together. And it's so cool to see how God is using that to reach countless, countless people, both here in Ely and even all over the country. It's really, really exciting, this the way God brought this all about. And part of my role, a big part of my job here at Ledrock as the senior pastor, is to cast a vision, to see where God is leading us, and then to share that vision with you, the church family, and then lead us in fulfilling that vision, the purpose that God has for Ledrock Community Church right now at this day and age, casting a vision, leading in vision. And part of that involves looking at who we are as the church. Who is Ledrock? Who are we made up of? And then what are our strengths? What are our weaknesses? But especially, what are our strengths? What are things that we as this body right here are good at? And then we have to then look at the community. Who's Ely? And then what are the needs throughout the community? And then how can we play our strengths to meet the needs of the community? And your spiritual oversight team and I have spent hours upon hours upon hours, a couple of hours every week as we meet together, exploring God's vision and purpose for us here at Ledrock. We've looked at our strengths and we've looked at the community's needs. And one of the primary things that we've identified, one of the strengths of Ledrock, is the ability to build relationships. We are a very, very relational family here at Ledrock. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You have welcomed us, my family and I, into your homes. We've built incredible relationships very, very quickly. Truly the work of the Spirit inside us. So that's one of our strengths, is building relationships. I've watched some of you looking for new folks to come in the doors, and as soon as they do, you mosey on over there and begin a very nice and warm welcome and building a relationship. And then I've even heard stories of having those newcomers over to your homes for meals and just fellowship. It's absolutely warming to my heart to see how relational we are, and I want to capitalize upon that. One of the needs in our community, all over the world really, are people, they're very hungry for relationships, authentic relationships. And here we have a strength of building relationships, and there's a need for authentic relationships. And so as we've looked at how to fulfill the vision and purpose for us here at this time, it makes sense that we focus on building relationships, being purposefully relational here at Ledrock in each and everything that we do. That's our new vision, and there'll be more information on that as we look forward, especially after Easter when I conclude this series on Alone. We'll look at really launching this vision and this purpose. It's interesting day that we live in and how we can do that, but we know that we need, as the body of Christ, to be about building relationships, true, authentic relationships. And here in this book of Acts, you'll see this spelled out in just a huge way, a very exciting way. So look back at the scriptures with me at verse 42, and we'll see what is the church really supposed to do? What's the body of Christ supposed to be all about? In 42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And I love this word devoted. Man, as a pastor, I love to hear what they were doing. They devoted themselves to all these different things. And that word devoted means they made it a priority. It was a new priority in their lives because this was brand new. Before Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit, the people were taught to be religious. They needed to keep the Ten Commandments, to try to keep the laws, to make sacrifices, go to the temple, offer some offerings, make up some sin offerings, whatever, check these boxes and they would be good. And now, after the coming of the Holy Spirit, things were changed. I mean, Jesus did all that he did, accomplishing the law, fulfilling it, and then created a brand new covenant through his body and his blood, that simply by faith we could be saved and changed and made brand new creations. So here they had this new priority on relationships, on doing life together. And as being in ministry not too terrible long, only about 10 years, I can still remember clearly when I first became a pastor, the heartbreak that I saw as people that had been part of the church for many, many years that were living extremely casually in their faith, very casual and lukewarm. with their faith, busy in life. In fact, too busy to be very involved in the church family, too busy to be involved in growing in their faith. And what an absolute heartbreak it was as this just young, you know, naive, on fire believer just called into ministry and ready to preach the gospel and save the world, to see folks that were just so casual and so lukewarm. And I had to adjust the way I tried to minister to people. It's very, very heartbreaking to see decades going by in people's lives with no real growth in their faith, no real growth in their life as a disciple. And I noticed a pattern with those types of folks, and they often felt kind of alone. They felt not really connected with their church family. They didn't really feel connected with the Lord, and they just sort of felt alone, and they kind of drifted here and there, blown about by the wind, and never really stepping on solid ground in anything. And again, it was very heartbreaking, hard to see. And here we find ourselves today, and the Lord has gotten our attention through this vast number of closings, this unprecedented day that we live in, with all of the precautions being taken globally to stop this pandemic from getting any worse and spreading, just to try to get ahead of this curve. And I feel like the Lord has our attention. I spoke with Ray Thielbar yesterday. We were heading out that way to go on a hike to the secret Blackstone Trail. And man, was that a neat trail. I loved that trail. And Teresa and I went out and did about 4 miles through some kind of rough country with the snow on the trail. And it was hard work, but it was fun. It was a neat area. But we drove right past the Thielbar's home. And so I called them up to see if they needed anything from town while we were going that way. And Ray had said they'd just gone to town. He had to have a checkup, and they'd gotten some supplies, and they were good to go, ready to go. But as we spoke, he said, "You know, Pastor Rose and I have been talking, and we wonder what's God up to in all of this." And I love to hear that kind of a question asked, that just spawning a spiritual conversation like that. And so we spoke for a couple of minutes, and I shared with him one of the thoughts that I had, and I feel like the Lord has truly gotten our attention. He's woken us up, and He has caused us to slow down. We were forced to slow down. We don't have all the things available that we used to do. Some of us aren't even able to go to work, aren't able to do the things that we have to do. So we're forced to slow down, to sit back at home, and to be together as families, to sit around the table and to talk, doing life together. And I don't think it's a coincidence that as we see a pandemic going on with technology and the wedge that it's divided in relationships all over, that God is using this to get our attention and to bring us closer together, to make us in our families, yes, but even as friends and as church family. As I shared at the opening, some of you watching right now are gathering together with other believers, with friends and family, with shut-ins and senior citizens like never before. And if we weren't in this pandemic, we wouldn't be in this exact situation. So I think that the Lord is using this to truly bring us together, bringing us together in relationships where it really, really matters. In this day that we find ourselves in, we've got two choices that you and I are forced to make. One of these two choices, and one is that you can pull away. You can pull away from God. You can use this as an excuse to not pick up your own copy of God's Word, to not read it, to not spend time in prayer, to not reach out to others. You can use this as an excuse to blame God and get farther and farther away and stagnate your own faith and your own walk. You can certainly choose that option during this time. However, I feel like a much better option is to use this time to really pull together, to get a lot closer to the Lord first and foremost, but also closer together with your family and closer together with each other. Instead of pulling away, use this time to draw near, gathering together. And here we see how the early church, the very first disciples, what they chose to do when they were first filled with the Holy Spirit. And it says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Again, I love that word devoted, and I love to the apostles' teaching. They were doing Bible studies, studying the Scriptures, and they didn't have the luxury of the New Testament. They were literally living it at that exact moment. So they didn't have the New Testament to study, but they studied the Old Testament, and then even more importantly, as the early church, the disciples and leaders were filled with the Spirit, they studied new doctrine, new theology, the reality that Jesus was and now is still the Christ, the long-awaited Messiah, but they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And so know that here at Ledge Rock, your leadership and I are continually exploring options for how you can be devoted to some sound biblical teaching during this day and age. And there are countless resources all over. Part of the advantage of being a member here, being a part of our church family, is that we have different options. We have help me with the name of the Bible study that we do, help me out. It's the thing we watch at home group on Right Now Media. Thank you. Completely slipped my mind. We have Right Now Media available. Thank you, church audience, for helping out through that time. But we have Right Now Media. We have YouTube. There's so many different options for good, sound, conservative biblical teaching. And be prepared as we get ready to roll out even more suggestions specifically in the weeks and days and weeks ahead. But the fact is that we live in a day when simply clicking a couple of buttons can lead you into extremely good and godly teaching from some amazing teachers all over the world. But the early church continued doing more things than just that. It says that they devoted themselves, yes, to the apostles' teaching, but also to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Fellowship and hospitality, unity and community, absolutely vital in the life of the church and us being better together, doing it together. I love how they devoted themselves to fellowship, just loving on each other, ministering to each other, and breaking of bread, sharing meals together. And we'll talk even more about that here in just a moment. But the point is that they instantly, through the presence and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, became the church and did life absolutely together. They devoted themselves to prayer. Boy, in a day when we aren't supposed to get too close to each other and gather together, there is absolutely no limit to the amount of prayer time that we can spend in prayer. Absolutely devoting ourselves to prayer. And I think that if we were going to make something a priority, how about praying right now for the health of our country and the health of this world as we pray for the health of each other and our community through this very, very scary and anxiety-filled time. The early church devoted themselves to fellowship, hospitality, community, and to prayer. Look at the next verse, 43. It says, everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. The people of that day, the early church, was filled with awe. And I'm convinced that us here in America have difficulty with this one because we are so blessed. We have so many things. We don't really need much. And so I think at times here in America, we miss out on God's mighty hand at work because we can kind of take care of our own selves. We've got more than enough. We aren't really in need at all. And so at times, scriptures like this can seem a little bit distant. We can't really relate because we have so many things, and yet God was moving in huge, huge ways. The people were filled with awe at the work that God was doing. It's absolutely absolutely amazing to see what God did back then and how we sometimes miss it here today. And I'm convinced that God is still the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. And that God that did many signs and wonders and miracles back then still does many signs and wonders and miracles even today. It's just a little harder for us here in America sometimes to see it. Even the fact of how God chose to get me and you together is absolutely a miracle. It's absolutely mind-blowing how God brought two people, two groups that were not looking at each other at all, absolutely together. And it is just such a blessing and a joy to be a part of God moving in such amazing and miraculous ways. The truth is that God still does miracles, still does many signs and wonders. And notice, by the way, how God chose to do it. He did these things through the apostles. Never mistake the fact that God, that these people, these humans didn't do the miracles. God did the miracles through the people. Peter and Paul, they didn't heal anyone. God healed the people through Peter and Paul. Pretty neat. This day that we live in with this virus, the stage has been set for God to do some amazing signs and wonders. The stage is set for God to do many, many miracles. So we continue on in this passage and look and see even clearer how we are absolutely better together than we are alone. Look at the next verse 44. It says, "Now all the believers were together and held all things in common." Now let's go ahead and read the next one. It said, "They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as any had need." Before you freak out and start to panic that I'm going to recommend that you sell your lakeshore property and bring the money to me, although we know that doesn't sound like too bad of an idea, I'm expecting a huge round of laughter out there in the crowd. But anyway, before you worry about that sort of an idea, remember we're talking about people that had been changed, making changes in their community. People that have been made different, making a difference. And so the body of Christ back then was meeting needs. They were busy about meeting needs from all different walks of life, living in unity and community, building relationships with each other. And so if you really look at the passage and what was going on at that day and age, it wasn't some sort of political movement where they decided, you know what, bring all your money here and we're going to give back a small portion to you. Instead, it was just simply people that had been changed making a difference for those that actually had needs. People that loved the Lord meeting needs of those all around them. And it made a difference in their own lives, and then it made a difference in the whole community, as you will see. So yes, they did share things in common, and they used what God had blessed them with to meet the needs of other people. Look at the next verse 46. It says, "Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple, and they broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts." Again, I love this word devoted. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together. It was a new priority that they had in their lives to gather together as a family, as the body of Christ. They devoted themselves to meeting together at church. They're in the temple and doing all kinds of cool things, breaking bread and going from house to house. And so something I shared with your leadership here a couple of weeks ago, and I'll share with you right now, is I'm heartbroken over the day and age that we live in. One of our favorite series is the Waltons. We love to watch the Waltons, and I love the very simple time that they lived in back in the 1930s during the Depression, and how close the family was together. They would gather around the radio at a certain time at night to listen to a radio program, and they just loved each other and lived together. They did life together. They shared meals together. And it breaks my heart to see where we are at today, well into the year 2000s, and see that the technology-filled lives that we live, and then the negative impact that it has. I shared early on that I'm not a big technology guy. And so I'm appreciative of it, especially right now as we use technology. But I'm heartbroken to see what it's done to families and what it's done to lives. I see busy, technology-filled lives. People going about full of anxiety and stress. Some having hundreds and hundreds of friends on Facebook, but none in person. People that are so full of stress and anxiety, too busy, way too busy for family and for friends that are actually right there around them. Maybe today, this day that we're living in, this pandemic, the shutting down of businesses and schools and causing us to shelter at home, to stay at home and just not go about our normal busy lives. Maybe this is the dawn of a new era where you and I can turn over a new leaf and we can set aside technology for relationships. We can set aside the busyness of our stress-filled lives to focus on family and friends, and building true and authentic relationships, first and foremost with Jesus, first and foremost with the resurrected Messiah that came and lived a perfect life that you and I were supposed to live and willingly went to the cross and died on that cross and then was buried in a tomb and then resurrected fully, bodily back to life, that now, today, you and I can simply trust in Him, ask Him to forgive us and be changed and made new from the inside out. Maybe this is the dawn of a new era when we can set aside stress and anxiety for true, authentic relationships with Jesus first, and then with family and with each other. Maybe this is the dawn of a brand new era. Look at the second part of verse 46. Well, I'll just read the whole thing. And every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple, and they broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts. If you see what's going on in the early church, they were building relationships and loving on each other and meeting needs together and breaking bread and fellowshipping from house to house. They were doing life together, and it caused joy in their hearts. Joy and sincerity pouring out of them. All of this recipe that's been going on here in this passage of Scripture today, all of this was an absolute recipe for joy in their hearts. Remember, joy is not dependent upon circumstances. Joy comes from within. It's not happiness. Happiness is circumstance dependent. Joy comes no matter the situation that we're in, because our eyes aren't fixed on our situation, but they're fixed on the glory and the power of the God that we serve. This is just simply a recipe for joy and sincere hearts. You and I absolutely must come together during this day and age. We have to come together and build relationships, share with each other, love on each other, and meet needs as they arise. Changed people, changing people. God filling us and using us to be His very presence with love and joy. Remember, the fruit of the Spirit, the evidence of God living inside us, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and faithfulness, of which there is absolutely no law. That's the evidence of the Spirit inside us. This is a recipe for you and I living those fruits out as the body, living with love and joy, changed people, changing people. As you and I love on each other and do life together in this unprecedented, uncharted, still uncertain manner, we minister to and meet needs for each other, and then our community, we look very different. I heard stories of people shopping at Walmarts down in Illinois yesterday, where people were literally bumping each other and ramming each other and fighting with each other to get the last of whatever it was on the shelf. And a friend of ours spoke that they were just sitting back watching people as they were so angry and stressed and fighting over things. And This person was trying to help some elderly people get things off of top shelves or whatever. But the point is, as you and I come together in this weird and crazy time, as we love on each other, as we prepare to meet each other's needs in this hurting world around us, we look very different than those folks that don't know Jesus, that aren't filled with the Spirit. We look very, very different. Look at 47 and what happens as people people gather together and live as the body, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. This type of lifestyle that we see in the book of Acts, that I'm talking about, you and I as the body living together, it leads to a life of praise, praising God, joy and peace in our hearts, doing life together, again, meeting each other's needs, looking very different than the world all around us. It says that they had favor among all the people. Favor among all the people. One of the greatest eye-opening facts of when I hiked on the Appalachian Trail was the disdain for the church among the unchurched people all over. I would ask people as I got to know them, I'd say, what are your thoughts about Christians? What do you think about the church? And I was shocked at the number of people that just said, I have absolutely no use for any of that. Hurt and burned by hypocritical, judgmental people that claim a relationship with Jesus in this lost world that are hungry for relationships, authentic, true, loving relationships, were turned off by churched people all over. You and I have to absolutely look different. When we do, it says that this changed people getting together had favor with the community around them, changed people, changing other people. People that have been made different, making a difference out there in the world. Remember, you and I are absolutely never, ever alone. That we are always together, one with God, but also together as the body of Christ. The Lord is glorified when you and I, when people that have been saved, love each other and love the world. God is glorified in that. Better together. One of the books that's truly just changed my life is called The Insanity of God. Nick and Ruth Ripken, some international missionaries, they wrote their stories of what God did through them, what God did through other missionaries, what God did through the local church all over the world. It's truly amazing and just miraculous what God has done throughout the years all over in leading people to come to faith in Jesus and changing lives all over. And they wrote a book called The Insanity of God. And then there came a video, a movie about that same book. And then a Bible study followed all of that. It's just truly amazing. But one of the stories that impacted me was a small church, a family of believers, a group of people in a small isolated village in China. And Nick and some others had traveled to this very small isolated village to hear their stories, to hear what God was doing in their lives and how they were growing in their faith. And these believers were so excited to have these missionaries come and visit with them. And Nick was interviewing them and asking questions, and they were just sharing stories and loving on each other. And a hand went up in the room, and Nick called on the guy, and this man just asked Nick this question, and he said, has Jesus made it out of our country, or is he only known by us? And it absolutely just shocked me. You talk about isolation. Here these believers were in this little tiny village way out in the mountains, way out in the country in China, and they were growing in their faith and loving on each other, and God was doing amazing things, and they didn't even know that there were other believers all over the country. They so desperately wanted the name of Jesus to go all over, but they didn't have the means. They didn't know how it would happen. And Nick just just started to begin to cry at this question, and he responded, yes, Jesus is known all over the world. There are millions of brothers and sisters just like you gathering together under the name of Jesus that have been changed, making a difference all over. And this little group of believers just cheered. They cheered because Jesus was known all over. You and I were never ever designed to be alone. We aren't supposed to be followers of Jesus alone. We live in a scary time when it's easy to feel afraid and isolated and alone. But now, today, it's easier than ever to be connected. Just simply clicking with a mouse, and you can be part of a worship experience just like this right now, just like what we are doing here today. You all over the country, part of a church family, changed people waiting to help change other people. Right now, we need to be the body more than we ever have in the history, in our history. We need to be the church, meeting needs, loving on each other. Be patient with each other. Be patient with us. Be patient with your world and national leaders. Be steadfast in this uncertain day that we're living in. Think outside the box on how it is that we can continue to build relationships and love on each other. Think outside the box. It doesn't have to look like it always has. But either way, through this weird time, we can pull together. And together, you and I will overcome through this difficult situation, because you and I, we are never, ever alone. Let's pray. Father, I come before you this morning, again, with joy in my heart, in the midst of uncertainty, with anxiety-filled times. I come with joy in my heart because you are my God. Because you are a God that is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, and that you have sworn to us that you will never leave us and that you will never forsake us. And you have commanded us to be strong and courageous. You have commanded us to look different than this world around us. And you have shown us and told us to gather together, to build relationships, to love each other, and to love this lost world. And Lord, I pray that you would lead us in doing exactly that. That we together would pull together in a way that we've never experienced before, that we would be your church and that we would see favor among the community and that daily people would be added to the church because of how great and mighty you are. So Lord, we put this entire weird, awkward, scary, uncertain, stress, anxiety-filled time, we put this in your very capable hands. And then we anxiously await to see how you are going to bring about amazing changes, how you are going to bring about the fulfillment of your kingdom and your glory here on this earth. And so, Lord, I pray collectively for all of us as your body right here at Ledge Rock Community Church that you would prepare us to be sensitive to your voice, to be sensitive to your prompting and your leading, and that you would cause us to be people not of fear, but instead of power because of how great you are. So Lord, use us, move among us, protect us, bring healing to people that are sick all over the world, bring wisdom to the leaders and the doctors, and Lord, I pray that through this, we will see a major revival here at Ledge Rock in Ely, Minnesota, throughout the country and throughout the world. Lord, let us see you move in ways that we've never seen before. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.